Good morning and welcome to One Land Many Voices. Your host this morning and most every fourth Friday of the month at 9 a.m. are Will Seaman and me, Holla Goris. But this morning, Will is away and we're very fortunate to have Ned Roche joining us here in the studio. Good morning, Ned.
Good morning, Holla, and good morning to all of our listeners.
A little later on, we'll have Reverend Dick Toll of Friends of Sabeel North America coming in to talk with us about an upcoming conference in Seattle in February. But before we do that, please get a pen and paper handy because, as usual, we have a few announcements for events coming up, especially a local benefit for earthquake relief in Haiti happening this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. here in Portland. That's tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay, Sarah Hassuna is a junior at Portland State University, majoring in philosophy with a minor in women's studies. She's the vice president of Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights at PSU and recently had the opportunity to travel to Cairo and Gaza last month to participate in the Gaza Freedom March. A self-described budding activist, this trip was her first to the region and an important step in her development as an activist. Sarah, the first question we'd like to ask you is, why did you decide to go on the Gaza Freedom March?
My group, Super, decided that if we could send one person to Gaza, it would be an amazing opportunity. And so we kind of just looked for volunteers. And, of course, I volunteered because it was an opportunity to go to Gaza. But I really saw this march as sort of a milestone, something that had never been done before. And I thought it would be an amazing opportunity to get to Gaza and to march in solidarity with Palestinians and internationals and really show our support for ending the blockade on Gaza in that way.
Sarah, what is it in your background that drew you to working for peace and justice for Palestinians?
Well, I am part Palestinian, and so I think for most people of Palestinian descent, I don't want to speak for everyone, but it seems like there is a connection to the issue anyway. And so I've always been also drawn to human rights issues. And, of course, this is a huge violation of human rights, what's going on in Israel. And so those two things coupled together, I think, is what drew me to the issue and have made me stick with it, because not only is it an issue of identity and culture, but it's an issue of human rights as well.
And, Sarah, what were the specific goals of the Gaza Freedom March?
The Gaza Freedom March was trying to get as many internationals as possible. Ended up being 1,400 who were registered for the march from 42 different countries. And we were going to march on Gaza and to the Israeli border with Gaza. And on the other side of the border would be Israelis marching in solidarity. And this the goal of the march specifically was to call attention to the blockade and call for an end to the siege of Gaza. So that was the goal. Very narrowly. we decided, the organizers at least, decided that focusing on this one specific goal would be indicative of the larger goal of Palestinian issues and rights.
Sarah, 1,400 participants from 42 countries sounds pretty spectacular. What kind of media coverage did you get in the Western press? The mainstream Western press?
We got some. The actual march didn't turn out to be as large as hoped because not all of us were allowed into Gaza. And so I think that lessened the media coverage considerably. But we did get into the New York Times. We were on CNN and the various other news outlets. And I think a lot of marchers contacted the press on their own and got their particular stories out. But the Western press, we had some big names, but obviously not as much as in the Arab world and international news media.
We're hoping you can share with our listeners here on One Land, Many Voices, what happened that you would have 1,400 participants to the Gaza Freedom March and only end up with a few making it into Gaza?
Well, before we even left for Cairo, the Egyptian government decided that we were not allowed into Gaza, not any of us. They were going to completely shut the border. But Code Pink, which is the organization that was heading this whole thing, decided we were going to go to Cairo anyway, and we were going to demonstrate in Cairo and try to get them to change their mind and let us in. So we did that for a couple of days. We held various demonstrations in Cairo, and we were completely surrounded by Egyptian police the whole time. They were on our tails basically everywhere we went. They knew what hotels we were staying in. We suspect they tapped some phones because we don't know how else they would have known. So they were there with us every step of the way. And what happened was Code Pink has sort of an in or a connection with Suzanne Mubarak, which is the president's wife. And so she got a deal negotiated where 100 of us would be allowed into Gaza. And Code Pink was really pressured to either say yes or no to this deal. And so they said yes, and what happened was people in our group were sort of angry about how the list of 100 people were was made and how it came to be decided who was going to go and who wasn't going to go. And there was also the issue of breaking solidarity within the group. And so it became really confusing as far as should we go or should we not go. And also the Egyptian government at the last minute said that the people who are on this list have been screened and are not a security threat, which basically meant that everyone else who was not on the list was a security threat. So having not known that, Code Pink took the offer and then basically, at least it appeared to everyone, agreed with what the Egyptian government said. And so that made it really difficult just within our group because there was a lot of division and chaos at that point. But there were also those within the group who respected our decision to go and were supportive of our decision to go, even though they disagreed with it.
Sarah, what I'd like you to do is hang on. We're going to go to our pitchers, Kurt and Justin, to talk about why it's so important to support KBOO.
Thanks very much, Hala. This is Justin here. I'm thrilled to be joined by Kurt, and it is a privilege to briefly interrupt the special programming today for our membership drive. It's a special event where we ask you in Radio Land to put a little money where your ears are and make sure that all the voices in our one land are getting out across the airwaves, and you do that by simply picking up your phone and dialing 232-8818, or if you are outside of the metro area, it's a toll-free call, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABU, and from any wired box on earth at KABU.FM. We have a modest goal for this program, $800. That tells me that if just 7 of the roughly 7,000 of you who are listening could offer 33 cents a day, the equivalent of 33 cents a day, that's $10 a month towards your community radio station, we would hit our goal right now. 503-232-8818 or toll free 877-500-KABU. Just like Paul did in Portland. Paul's a new member. We thank Paul very much.
Thank you very much, Paul. I'd just also like to thank some of our other members who have been joining this morning. We've had 3 new members just joining up in the last hour, I believe, and that's always fantastic to hear. When we get new members, that means we've got new reoccurring members, and that's probably the most important thing for us, is that someone who will want to come back time after time. The numbers here are 503-232-8818 in the Portland area. Outside that area, 877-500-5266.
To interrupt you, Kurt. I was listening to Sarah on the phone earlier, and she was talking about getting the story out. And I really think that that's what KABU is about every hour of every day. We are not delivering you to corporate interests. We are trying to get all the information we can to you and let you in Radio Land form your own opinions, make your decisions. It's about all the voices being heard, and that's why it's a privilege to just briefly interrupt one land, many voices, because this this is where we get a chance to give you in Radioland the opportunity to be involved. 232-8818 or toll free 877-500 KABU. Stephen in West Lynn renewed. Thank you very much, Stephen. And
thank
I'm looking
Stephen.
At this gift here. We are now talk about the Brave New World. We are offering 2 gigabyte flash drives with the best of KABU 2009. We've got all sorts of stories and lectures, some of which were never heard this year, and that's yours for just a $120 gift. Remember, that's 33 cents a day, and when I ask you for 33 cents a day, please bear in mind it costs us over $2,000 a day to keep your community station, community radio station, operating. So I think you'll agree, we're not asking you to take an undue amount of responsibility. 503-232-8818 or toll-free 877-500 KABU. I think we're going to head it back now to Hala and Ned, give you more of what we're asking you to support. But remember, we are standing by for your calls. Please do it now. 232-8818 or toll-free anywhere in the nation, 877-500-KBOO.
Thank you. And Sarah, you were one of the people that did go to Gaza. We'd love you to just take a minute or two and share with us some of your impressions.
Well, actually, when we first got in, Gaza was not what I was expecting. And that was because we went at night, so it was really dark, and I couldn't see anything. But they took us, first of all, to an area of Gaza that was pretty okay and didn't really have as much destruction as the rest of Gaza. And so at first I'm thinking, well, this isn't that bad because we stayed in these really nice hotels. And then as soon as you leave the hotel and walk just a couple blocks over, just a couple steps, then you start seeing how everyone says how bad it is. I mean, there are buildings there that are still flattened from last year. Because of the blockade, we can't get any new building materials in, so everything is just still in disarray and is still destructed. And what they have to do now is they started sort of like a recycling program. Well, they'll take pieces of the road, maybe a place that isn't as important, and they'll have to use that road to repave a road that is more important. And so they have to decide what should be taken down to put something else back up. And there are still tents there, and we went through a refugee camp, and there's just piles and piles of garbage right next to these houses because they don't have anywhere else to put it. And you're driving through, and you can smell it. It's coming through the windows, and you think these people have to live next to it every day. So, that was really impactful, I think, for me to see and smell that.
You know, Sarah, even before Israel attacked Gaza, a little over a year ago, if we were to do a comparison of what Gaza's 1.5 million Palestinians, their conditions, let's say, in June of 2005, is a poverty-stricken area. However, what you had were about 35,000 Palestinians that were employed in numerous factories. Actually, out of 35,000 that were employed in factories in June of 2005, only 1,750 remained employed in June of 2007 when the blockade began. So can you give us an idea of what this blockade has done to Gazans in terms of fuel, food, this illegal collective punishment that you observed firsthand?
Well, the blockade has really crippled Gaza. I mean, the only goods that exist within Gaza come through the tunnels, basically. I mean, probably a small amount come in some other way. But really, whatever Gazans want, they need, they have to smuggle it in. And so obviously that's not an easy task. So Gazans don't have any most of the luxuries that we have or that even other Palestinians like in the West Bank might have, or certainly that the Israelis have. And so basically it becomes sort of a culture, or not necessarily a culture, but you really start to appreciate the things that you have, I think. At least that's how I felt when I was there, and that's the sense that I got. And you realize that it's going to be really hard to get anything else in. And so, like I said, these building materials that can't come in, they would consistently point out buildings that were flattened and say, you know, well, we really wish we could build this or rebuild this, but we can't unless we destroy something else to build this back up. And so it's this idea of having to choose and pick and make sure you put priority on certain things, which is ridiculous to have to do, to have to be able to decide what is more important, whose house is more important to build back up, or what road people travel over more and what road people decide not to go on as much. You know, these kinds of decisions that we don't have to make because we have enough to keep going.
And to our listeners, we want to remind you that this is our membership drive. If you enjoy listening to One Land, Many Voices, a program that you will not get in the mainstream media, KBOO is where your support should be. You know, on past programs on One Land, Many Voices, we were able to bring to you folks like Deanna Buttu and Bernard Sevilla, Norman Finkelstein, Ali Abu Nima of Electronic Intifada, some folks from Gaza by telephone. All of that takes money. So we'd like to hear the telephone ring and show your support for KBOO and One Land, Many Voices.
Right. Excuse me. This is your chance to support genuine democratic grassroots community media here in Portland, and we encourage you to do so. Sarah, even though your time was relatively short in Gaza, would you share some of the experiences you had interacting with people in Gaza and some of the messages they may have asked you to bring back to us?
Mm-hmm. Our time in Gaza, we were there for 2 days, and our time was very structured. So interaction was limited, which was unfortunate. But we did get to do things like a group of us went to a school, and we were handing out like little stuffed animals that someone had donated to the kids. And first of all, we go up to the school, and there are huge holes in the sides of the building and crumbling fences around it, and just, you know, left over from the offensive last year again. So we go in, and we're talking to the kids and handing things out, and then they ask if they have any questions for us. And this little girl gets up, and she's probably about 10 or 12, I'd say. And she asks us what Palestinian kids did to deserve what they have to live through. Like, how is it their fault, basically? And I think that really stuck with me, because it's a question that we don't have an answer for, obviously. You know, what are we supposed to tell this young child of why, what she did to make this happen to her? And obviously, there are other children that suffer in the world, but she doesn't know that. And she is the one feeling the suffering that is placed upon her, so that's what's going to affect her the most. And so it was a question that we really had no answer for. And there are about six of us who went. We all just kind of looked at each other and had nothing to say. And so that's definitely going to stick with me. But
it certainly leaves one speechless. At this point, we're going to go ahead and get back to Justin and Kurt in the fundraising studio booth. Hey, you guys, are you there?
Thanks very much, Hala. We are here. My name is Justin, and I'm joined by Kurt, and we're having some real success here. People are really answering the call by making the call to 232-8818 or toll-free 877-500-KABU. We have just $270 to go to make sure we get our goal, and we want to go over the goal. So please, just a few of you, remember, it costs us over $2,000 a day to keep your community radio station on the air and reaching out to the entire community. And we have some people to thank.
That's right. I'd like to thank these people. We've got Jennifer in Portland, Peter in Portland. In fact, they're all from Portland. Susan, a new member from Portland, and Laura renewing her membership from Portland as well. Three members renewing their membership. One new member. New members are always the best to see, because we love seeing more people tuning into KBOO and listening to what we have to say. Remember, you are listening to the station. This is what you wanted to hear. We are offering the news that no one else is offering on any of those other stations. This is your community radio station, and it's your time to support it. Thank you very much.
That's right. And, you know, there are a lot of organizations who are particularly right now who are fighting for your hard-won pennies, nickels, and dimes. And there are a lot of valuable organizations. But for a moment, folks, I'd like you to think about, if you could only support one organization, what kind of organization would it be? Would it be democratically organized? Would it be people-powered? Would it serve as an electronic bulletin board for all the other social change organizations in the community? Would bring you cultural ambassadors from all over the world and music from A to Z? Would it invite your participation on the air and behind the scenes and on the board and on communities? In short, my friends, would it be KABU? Please say yes, because we rely on your support. You are responsible for roughly 90% of KABU's funding. We're as strong as you make us, and we are here to bring many voices to this one land. Please pick up your phone and dial 232-8818 or toll free 877-500-KABU, or go to the all-new KABU.fm, and you can show your support there. There are a lot of people who are doing their part. Kurt is a volunteer. He comes down there, comes down here to do his part to make community radio happen. Our board op today is volunteering, and people are volunteering here to receive your calls. Everyone's doing what they can, including restaurants who donate some food to our volunteers so they can be fed while they answer your calls. And to that end, I'd like to thank Bar Carlo at 643 Southeast Foster. I'd like to thank the Flying Pie Pizzeria at 7804 Southeast Stark. And I'd like to thank Beulah Land at 118 Northeast 28th Avenue. They've done what they can do today to ensure that your community radio station is as strong as it can be for you. Have you done all that you can do today? KABU.FM or toll-free 877-500-KBOO.
Thank you, Justin. And once again, I'd like to remind everyone out there that is listening, this is the one place you can give your dollar, and it will give over and over again. By donating to KABU, we then have the opportunity to promote all those other causes that you were looking for, that you might have been thinking, perhaps I can donate to those people as well. KABU is the one station that will support all of them. So by donating to us, you're actually giving over and over again. And I'd just like to mention, most of our members are $90 members. You know, I was looking at the 25 cents a day. That's such a small amount, because I've got a gym membership card in my wallet, and I was figuring out that's $1.37 a day. And if I were to cancel that membership that never gets used, trust me, it never gets used, and turn that over to KABU, that would be a $500 donation every year. $500 is five times what we're asking most of our listeners to give. It's 10 times what our average listeners are giving. And that was just one gym membership. So if you've got that kind of money sitting in your pocket that's not getting used, consider changing it over to KABU. 503-232-8818. Toll free 877-500-5266. Or you can donate online at www.kboo.com. FM.
You know, even in a difficult economy, most of us will have a little bit of tax burden. And remember that your donation, minus the cost of any thank you gift that you receive, is tax deductible. And so that's money that you're going to give to the government anyway. Perhaps you might consider keeping your money in the community, making sure that all of these voices are heard, because truth is the total number of voices. And we send it all out to you in Radio Land. You put it together and make your own decisions, because you are intelligent, discriminating audience in Radio Land, and that's why we ask you to go to your phone and support what you're hearing right now. 232-8818, toll free 877-500-KABU, or from any wired computer on earth, KBOO.FM.
Thank you, Justin and Kurt. That was very well said. I want to hear that telephone ring, so please donate to KBOO right now. It's a station that is our community station. We are all volunteers here. It's a place that belongs to you, and it belongs to us. Locally, you can call 503-232-8818. Toll-free is 877-500-5266, or go online, kboo.fm. We're going to get back with Sarah right now. And Sarah, I want to get back to Egypt's complicity in Israel's illegal actions. Can you talk to us about that? Because you had mentioned your very limited time in Gaza. Can you tell our listeners how limited it was, why it was so limited, what difficulties you had with the Egyptian authorities, and maybe we can address why it is Egypt is doing this?
Egypt, like I said, completely denied us entry before we even got to Cairo. So they were definitely a big obstacle in our getting there. We were only allowed in for 2 days. So that was the day of the march, the day after, and then we stayed overnight and had to leave that morning. But yeah, Egypt was, I think, just as hard to get around as if we were going on the Israeli side, which is something that I hadn't really thought about before we went. You know, you always assume Israel and the U.S. and are the ones who are perpetuating this, but Egypt is just as much at fault. And like I said, they were following us everywhere, and they were keeping tabs on us, and they were not allowing any of our actions to take place when we were trying to demonstrate. They actually would stop us and say, you can't assemble, your action is not allowed. And what I think is important to remember is Egypt is the second, gets the second most amount of aid from us. And Israel, I think, is the first. So it's not like this is just arbitrary. This is planned. The U.S. Knows where to give its money and for what reason. And I think that's definitely a huge indicator of why they're doing what they do. They are playing into the hands of Israel and the U.S.
So it's our tax dollars that are supporting the Mubarak regime in continuing to oppress the Palestinian people. It's interesting to me and ironic, sad at the same time, that Prime Minister Netanyahu was welcomed with open arms in Cairo while the Free Gaza Movement participants were attacked. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us on One Land, Many Voices. Next time we hope to have you here in the studio. We've been speaking with Sarah Hassouna, a Portland State University student, Vice President of Super Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights here in Portland at Portland State University. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
You're listening to One Land, Many Voices, and you're tuned to KBOO, listener-sponsored community radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, 100.7 FM in Corvallis, and 91.9 FM in the Columbia Gorge, and naturally also available as streaming audio at KBOO's website at www.kboo.org.
You know, if you've missed one of our previous programs, or if you just want to listen again to one of our past guests, all of our programs are available on demand at www.pdxjustice.org, where you'll also find links to other great video and audio programming. So for prior One Land, Many Voices, I understand now we're not even supposed to say the www. I'm going to learn to take that out. It's just pdxjustice.org. Let's go ahead and welcome here in our studio a gentleman that I have known for many years now, and I'm delighted to introduce him. Reverend Dick Toll is here with us in the studio. He is coordinator of Friends of Sabeel North America. Sabeel is the Ecumenical Liberation Theology Center in Jerusalem, and it is a grassroots liberation theology movement among Palestinian Christians. Good morning, Reverend Dick Toll.
Thank you so very much. I'm very glad to be here.
We're delighted to have you in the studio. I understand that Sabeel has an upcoming conference in Seattle, so it should be real easy to get folks from Portland to go up there. Can you tell us about that?
I would love to tell you about it because it's a follow-up of some of what you're talking about with Gaza. This conference that is going to be in Seattle on February 19 and 20 at St. Mark's Cathedral is on the subject, What Does Justice Require of Us? And us is spelled U.S., and what the conference is geared around is looking at the U.S. policy in the region all these years and what is happening now on the ground. And the people that are going to be speaking are very, very interesting, quite a few speakers, but especially Kathleen and Bill Christensen, Bill was a CIA agent back in the 70s, and his wife is an analyst for some of the work that has been going on for years, and they've written many books. And one person that is also going to be there as a main speaker is Neve Gordon, who is the chair of the Department of Politics and Government at Ben-Gurion University. And this is the first time he's been in the United States since he wrote an article in July, I believe, in the Los Angeles Times. And in this article, he spelled out that the boycott, divestment, sanctions concerns he supports now as the only way in which Israel somehow will get the message. It has to be an international movement that says that something has to change. Governments aren't doing it and will not do it. And it takes someone like himself to say that from within the country. So he's going to be one of our main speakers. That's the program.
And for those listeners of One Land, Many Voices that want to attend the upcoming Sabeel conference in Seattle, where can they go to register?
Go to our website, Sabeel.org. Fosna.org, F-O-S-N-A.
So that's F-O-S-N-A.org.
Right.
And Reverend Toll, how many such conferences have you organized over the past, say, 10 years?
Oh, goodness. We've had, this will be our 30th in the last 7.5, 8 years. Our patron is Bishop Tutu. He started us out was with us 2 years ago again in Boston. And we've done 30 of these conferences throughout the country. We have two more scheduled after Seattle, one in Honolulu the week after, and one in Marin County in San Anselmo, California, the week after that. So three conferences in a row we're looking forward to.
You know, just by way of background, we did have Reverend Toll on in 2008. And for those of you who didn't catch that program, we probably ought to let our listeners know how it is you came to the getting peace and justice work on Palestinian issues. You know, Dr. Naeem Ati is somebody who is a friend of my mom and my mom's family back in Palestine. Can you tell us about how you came to this issue?
I came to this issue as a seminarian in 1964 at our seminary in Berkeley, California, CDSP, Church Divinity School of the Pacific. And guess what? One of my classmates was Naeem Ati. I heard the story for the first time of the Palestinians from him, and something just was very disjointed in that. I had never heard it before, and it just sort of like, where did that come from? And he said, come and visit, which I did in 1983 with people from St. Mark's Cathedral, where our conference is going to be in Seattle. And we went there in 1983, and I'm working with some of those same people now that have been a part of this issue since then. And so that's where I began, and I've been going back almost yearly since then to visit people in the region, to work with Naeem, and he's the director of Sabeel in Jerusalem. It's been there 18 years in Jerusalem, and I've been working with him.
And Reverend Toll, could you tell us about your most recent trip to Palestine and any observations you'd like to share?
Oh, goodness. It was so discouraging. I was there in November a year ago, and then I was back there this past November, and the changes on the ground were dramatic. It was so dramatic. I spent 5 days in Bethlehem, and we wandered all around following the wall and following the settlements. And 85% now of what is Palestinian territory has been confiscated for purposes of roads, military, settlements, you name it. And it's just coming down. There's only 15% of Bethlehem left that is where the town now is, and it's just slowly being squeezed to death. We found the people there in Bethlehem telling us that they hadn't been 4 miles away are the holy sites in Jerusalem. They haven't been able to go there to have any services, go to funerals, weddings, or anything for 8 years, 10 years. And they're just not able to visit their family or anyone because of the wall. They're in prison. And it's just horrendous to feel this very holy place for Christians to be in the position that it is, the people. One positive that I felt was we attended services twice there on Sunday in a Melkite church and a Latin church. They were full. And what I was aware of is how the community that's going through this terrible time finds its strength from within its community and family and all the things that we would hope for. and they are supporting each other is what they're doing, because they're certainly not getting it from us. And I'm one of the things that I've always been discouraged about is how they've felt abandoned by Christians in the United States. And we have. We just have. We had a rabbi at one of our programs down in California a few years ago, and he said, "I've never understood Christians on this basis." He said, "How in the world do you allow this to happen?" He said, "Jewish people would be supportive of what goes on around their community, and Christians just have denied that there's a problem in this area, and haven't supported the Christians in the region." The population of Christians has dropped from 15% to less than 2%. And in the entire state of Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza. Very few Christians in Gaza now.
Reverend Toll, when we get back after we take our pledge break, I'd like to focus on what has happened to the Christian population inside of the Green Line and on the other side of the Green Line, because there is this idea out there being developed that says that the reason Christians, there is this mass exodus of Christians, is because the Christian Palestinian population is being discriminated against by Muslims. So we can address that when we get back from our good friends, Kurt and Justin, if they're ready for us.
We are ready.
That we are.
Thanks very much, Hala and Ned. My name is Justin. I'm joined by Kurt, and we're really thrilled to be able to interrupt this programming just briefly to give you and Radioland an opportunity to say thank you to Hala and Ned and all of our cultural ambassadors that are on every hour of every day. We give a forum to members of the community, all of whom have a special expertise, and we send them out to you unmediated, unmitigated. And we ask you to contribute a little towards the more than $2,000 a day it costs us. You can do that online at the brand new KBOO.FM. If you're in the Portland metro area, you can pick up your phone and dial 232-8818. And if you're anywhere in the nation, you can call us toll-free, 877-500-KBOO. And we would like to make sure that we hear from people up the Columbia Gorge and down the Willamette Valley. You know, it's hard enough to get uncensored media in the metropolitan area. We know that when you get into the hinterlands, it becomes even more difficult. So do let us pay for the call. Make sure we hear from you. Just two sustaining members, if you could do that, offering 33 cents towards that $2,100 a day. But of course, any amount you choose is fine. We're looking for numbers of calls. We're looking for people to renew, and especially we're looking for new members, because there's always room for more of you at the mighty 90.7. 232-8818 or toll-free 877-500-KBOO.
That's right. Thank you. We'd really like to thank everyone. We've been having our phones ringing off the hook this morning. We're very, very close to our hourly goal right now of $800. If you could just step up and be one of those people that calls in right now, you can help us to reach our goal here. We'd really like to thank everyone out there that keeps this radio station running. This is volunteer-run, membership-supported. We don't get support anywhere else except from you. I'd like to thank Reverend Toll for coming in. He's come down today to the radio station to offer his interviews for One Land, Many Voices for our show here this morning. And it's because of volunteers coming in and hosting the shows and people like you coming in to offer your own insights that you offer the news that no one else is getting. So right here at KBOO, this is the one place where you can hear what no other station is putting on. Call us locally, 503-232-8818, and toll free all throughout the state and the greater 50 states, 877-500-5266. That spells KBOO for everyone out there listening. 877-500-5266. And on the internet, you can reach us at www.kboo.fm.
That's absolutely right. And if you have never been to your community radio station, consider popping in to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We'd love to give you a tour of the facilities and show you how much duct tape and chewing gum we can purchase with your 10 cents a day, your 25 cents a day. Maybe you can do a dollar a day, or maybe even more. But many hands makes light lifting. We're going to get ready to hand it back here to One Land, Many Voices, but we are standing by waiting to hear from you online at KBOO.FM, locally at 232-8818, or toll-free from anywhere in the nation, 877-500-KBOO.
Thank you. You know, those of us interested in Palestine-Israel know that we hear perspectives on One Land, Many Voices, on KBOO News, on Democracy Now!, from Jim Hightower, from Mumia Abu-Jamal, and so many other programs that are on this station that we don't get on the corporate media. Your support is deeply appreciated. Reverend Toll, I'd like to go back to the question that Hala raised just a few minutes ago. Would you speak a little bit about the current situation for Christians within Israel, in Gaza, as well as the West Bank?
The deterioration in numbers is real. I mentioned that already. Within Israel proper, I would say in the Galilee region, there is a lot of growth in some ways. There's a growth within that region of Christians. Even while it's diminishing in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, there is a growth pattern happening. And we're grateful for that. The total population has, as I mentioned, has gone by the wayside. You mentioned something about a myth that's out there that I also have known in my life, is that the reason why Christians are leaving is because of the Muslim pressure or whatever. I would say that is false. The learnings that I have had over the years, I have watched the Muslim and Christian populations work well together in small villages as well as East Jerusalem. A mutual respect and integrity that is very important. Naeem Atik, just 3 months ago, while I was there, pulled together about 30 Muslim sheikhs and had a two-day program talking about the one issue that the sheikhs were not able to understand, and it was on Christian Zionism. Because they don't understand this. They see the term Christian, and they think of it in terms of Christians living in the region. And, of course, we know that Christian Zionism is a product of this country almost. We're the ones exporting it. And it's very destructive to the region. It's very destructive to Christian-Muslim relationships. And we watch that continually being played out within Israel. There was a parade in September with thousands of Christian Zionists in Jerusalem that was sponsored by the Christian Zionists. They came from all over the United States. They marched. In the lead of the parade were Israeli defense forces, soldiers, leading this Christian group. Along with dogs that were in the parade, muzzled dogs that were ready attack dogs, followed by these banners and the Christian Zionists that were very supportive of Israel and what Israel does. And this is an image that, of course, Muslims look at and say, what in the world is going on here? And they assume it's something that's a part of the Christian population there. And, of course, it's not. There are no Christian Zionists within Israel with the local population. So it's a very, very destructive element of what's going on and we're exporting it from the United States. There was a rabbi that was given an award last year when I was there. I think his name is Ekstrom. And the award that Israel gave to him was on the basis of he had raised $500 million from Christians in this country to support the settlements, to build settlements and to support them. And they gave him an award. And I'll have to admit, I've always gotten letters from him and from others, Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, wanting me to send money and guaranteeing that within 2 or 3 weeks there would be someone into the settlements from Russia or whatever. A guarantee that they will have a place to live. And it's all Christian money. It's very destructive. And there needs to be, in fact, there is a move going on. I think Tom Nelson, who's from here, is working on that along with others on the basis of how do you stop American money going over there tax-free, getting write-offs? It's absurd.
You know, the occupation, the illegal occupation of the West Bank, Gaza, East Jerusalem is an occupation that impacts all Palestinians, Christians and Muslims alike. So when you talk about the growth of Palestinian Christian Israelis inside the Green Line as compared to the mass exodus of Christians from the holy places in the West Bank and Jerusalem, we have to really focus on how the horrific conditions that the Israeli military and Israeli government imposes is what's driving out the Christians out of the West Bank, Gaza, and Jerusalem. You know, I want to talk a little bit more about Sabeel, because I'm looking at your brochure right now, and it's entitled, What Does Justice Require of Us? So what does justice require of us?
To walk humbly with our God, and we are supposed to treat one another as we would wish to be treated. All of our faiths teach this. And justice is a word that is not raised in the political atmosphere at all. It's a word that is very deeply ingrained in the religious societies of the world, and one that is not addressed politically. And we want to address it. So we're raising this as part of what we as Christians and Muslims and Jewish people within this country need to talk about in order for this horrendous boycott or whatever it is that's happening in Gaza not to be able to get in there. All of this is just terrible.
It is now time for us to get back to Kurt and Justin. Hey, guys.
Hello there. Oh, hello, Ned Mello. I'm sorry, all I did was say hello, and suddenly it was passed off to me. Well, thank you for joining us at the KBOO Winter 2010 Membership Drive. This is really one of the most important times of the year for us. This is where we get your support in a financial form. We really need to get something to sustain us for our $2,100 a day costs that we have to go through to keep this on the air, to keep the radio station running all the time. It's free radio, but it's not free for us. So I'd just like to offer a couple incentives out there. We have several thank you gifts to offer our members, but if you've been listening to our coverage of events in the Gaza Strip, we have a couple of DVDs that we're offering as thank you gifts. For a $60 donation membership pledge, we have Al Jaradat, Administrative Detention, Israel-Palestinian Political Agenda. We also have Joe Saka, Footnotes in Gaza, January 12, 2010. These are two movies that were filmed for us from volunteers in the local stations that we've turned into DVDs to offer to our members. Joe Sacco was talking at Powell Books about his newest graphic novel, Footnotes in Gaza, and we've got that on DVD to offer to our $60 membership pledges for anyone getting up a new membership or anything for us.
That's absolutely right, Kurt. Any amount of money that you can give is fine, because what's really important is joining all of the community members together to make sure that community radio is as strong as possible. And, you know, we were just hearing you talk about the question of justice, and there can be no justice without the power that knowledge brings. And that is our goal here at Community Radio, to bring you information so that you have knowledge, and that the idea is that the more we know, the more justice can be achieved. And that may seem like a stretch, but it's like the I Ching teaches us to heap up small things in order to make great things, so that if you give a nickel a day or a dime a day or a quarter a day or a dollar a day, you're making a gift to your entire community. You're making a gift for people who may not be able to make that gift, because you should not have to have some dollar level in order to have information. This is essentially a human right. And we want to thank Laura, who called back and added to her donation. So if you've already called and are thinking this is really important programming, maybe today you can be a hero and make a gift for someone else in the community, because it's not just about you and yours. It's about your neighbors, your friends, your colleagues, and indeed even strangers, getting this information out. So please go to your computer and go over to kboo.fm and make a secure donation there, a secure pledge, or you can call locally at 232-8818, or you can call from anywhere in the nation, toll-free, 877-500-KABU. I'm also really excited about these flash drives. They're 2-gigabyte flash drives, and the drives themselves have no lead or cadmium or mercury, so they're safe to take into your home. And this has exclusive KABU content with talks from Noam Chomsky, Derek Jensen, Amy Goodman, David Barsamian, Vandana Shiva, Jim Hightower, many more. This is sort of the best of KABU 2009, and you can plug this into your computer, and you will have all of this information just whenever you need it. Please answer the call by making the call, 232-8818, or toll-free, 877-500-KABU.
That's right. Thank you, Justin. We also have our website. This is the most important place where you can donate to us, www.kboo.fm. If you go to our new website, there's a tip jar in the top right corner. Click on that, and we make it as easy as possible to donate to KABU Radio. Now, also, we've got something called the Electronic Funds Transfer. This is something that we do for our members that takes just a little bit out of your paycheck every month. So if you find it hard to donate $60 or $100 right now, we can just set you up with a monthly transfer. So our bank contacts your bank, and basically we just skim a little bit off every month, and those pennies really are never seen, never felt, but it means so much for us. We've got costs here of $2,100 a day. It's $90 an hour to keep the radio station running, and that is a huge amount. And when you consider that $90 an hour covers all of our paychecks, all of our utilities, all of our side costs, that's really not an awful lot for what you're getting out of KABU. KABU is a huge media outlet for the community here, and we've got 52,000 listeners that are listening to everything that you have to say. Give us a call here, 503-232-8818, and help us stay on the air. We've got a toll-free number, 877-500-5266. These are two easy ways that you can get a hold of us and set up an electronic funds transfer. That would be a wonderful asset to our budget.
That's absolutely right, and we'll be happy to give you some thank you gifts. I'm just doing a status check here. We have an $800 goal for this program. I'm happy to report that we're about 1 hour's cost of KABU away from making our goal. It's about $86 to $90 an hour, and that's about how far we are away from hitting that $800 goal. Please remember that the programmers do this as a labor of love, and all they ask is that you make sure that they hit their program goal. So pick up the phone right now and call 503-232-8818 or at your wired confuser at kboo.fm and toll free anywhere in the nation, 877-500-KBOO.
Our volunteers, Kurt and Justin, have done a tremendous job for us. We want to hear that phone ring again. As you heard, we're about $90 away from meeting our goal on One Land, Many Voices. If you tune in every fourth Friday of the month from 9 to 10 to listen to One Land, Many Voices, please pick up that phone and help us meet our goal. Call 503-232-8818. And toll free, 877-500-5266. Help One Land, Many Voices meet our goal. Now, I told you earlier when we started that I wanted you to get pen or pencil and to tell you about a big fundraiser that's happening tomorrow. This is an emergency relief fundraiser for Haiti. It'll be Saturday tomorrow, January 23rd, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., organized by the Society for Haitian Arts and Culture. It will feature a photographic display titled Haiti Before and After. This is tomorrow, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Central Northeast Neighborhoods Building. It's located at 4415 Northeast 87th and Sandy, right behind the fire station. So we hope to see you there.
Reverend Toll, I'd like to get back to the conference that's going to be happening next month. You have an amazing array of speakers, including Cindy and Craig Corey, Jeff Halper, Neve Gordon, and a number of others. One of the ones that I see is Mark Braverman, who's an American Jewish activist. And would you speak a little bit about what he'll be doing at the conference?
Yes, very definitely. Mark has become a very closest friend in the last 3.5 years. He made a visit 3.5 years ago and has turned himself into a spending the rest of his life trying to figure out how to solve the problems that he confronted in Israel and Palestine. He's going to be at this conference in Seattle. He's going to be in Honolulu, and he's going to be in Marin County, and he's also coming here to be for a few days. And he's written a book called Fatal Embrace, and it's a very a good book looking at the issues both within both faith communities and trying to analyze where we've gotten off track, why we aren't talking about the real issues, why we're distorting issues, and it's quite a good book. And he's going to be at the First Unitarian Church downtown on the 12th of March, and then he's going to be at Central Lutheran Church for an adult program on the 14th of March from 9 to 10, and at Christ Episcopal Church in Lake Oswego at 11 o'clock on that Sunday the 14th. I find him to be a very articulate, able communicator. He's been at our three of our conferences, one we had in Cedar Falls, Iowa, just in September, and then he was also in Washington, D.C. at a conference there. And I have found him to be very articulate and helpful in the dialogue.
You know, as we come to the end of our program, I would like you to spend 30 seconds on the Kairos Palestine document.
The Kairos document, it's a very, very a good document that's come out as of December 11th, just recently, so it's just out, put together by church leaders in Palestine and Israel, saying, in effect, they even use the word, in a hopeless situation, we want to offer hope. And it's several pages, good reading, strong reading. One of the things that the document calls for is a boycott, divestment, and sanctions on Israel. This is a step forward within the churches to say this, church leaders, because they are patterning themselves after South Africa. There were some South African leaders there that helped, and this is coming from the World Council of Churches as well as the local community, and it is a strong document people need to know about.